look into our part four of demonic oppression. Here's the review. Going to review just for a few minutes. And we'll let you know what new material comes, okay? Demonic oppression is a term used to represent the pressure exerted by demons to get us to sin or to keep us bound in limitations. Usually they have open door to gain access to us. Open doors come from different ways. Ungodly beliefs, sins of the fathers, and soul spirit hurts. And our own sin, as well as from witchcraft directed toward us. Now, yesterday I gave some facts about demonic activity. Okay, we're going to just tell you the statement, and because we dealt with each of these in detail yesterday, okay? Now, the Bible provides no real description of demons. Satan it does, demon it doesn't. They're discussed. Ezekiel 28, 12 through 19, and Revelation 12, 3 through 10 tells us that one third of all the angels fell with Lucifer. Now we know that Satan is and his cohorts are created beings, and they're subject to the authority of the Creator. Now, since God's passed authority to the church, therefore, as believers, we indeed have authority over demons as well. And we have authority to cast them out. Now, let me show you some characteristics of these devils. Number one is that demons are entities with a personality. They can hear, speak, complete with each other. They have their own will. Secondly, demons have at least some knowledge. Revelation 9:4 shows us they know the difference between saved and unsaved. That's important. All right? We know that there's passages that the kingdom of the enemy, Satan's kingdom, is highly organized. Demons also seem to have a region or home base from which they come and are assigned. And the Bible clearly shows that. We know that demons affect people today, and they're affected in Jerusalem and Judea and in Jesus' day in Israel. Now, the first goal is to prevent someone from receiving salvation. That's their main focus. And then the secondary goal is to work to prevent Christian maturity and get people, hear me, away and turn people away from God. Think about that. We know that demons take after their leader, Satan. John 10:10 tells us the thief cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy. And in John 8:44, it tells us that Satan is a murderer, liar, and the father of lies. Now, remember, demons lie to us and work hard to have us lie to ourselves. Wow. They harass, they accuse, they criticize. We looked at that in Revelation 12, 10, and 11. Now, let me give you some new areas here, okay? That was basic material that we mentioned in detail yesterday, okay? Now, demons are on a seek and destroy mission. They work together. They strategize. They take advantage of weakness. They love times when people are physically and or emotionally weak and vulnerable. They love that. They love that. They love that. In short, demons don't play fair. They don't. They endeavor to affect all kinds of areas in our life, body, soul, and spirit. Now, listen to this. Here's the typical oppression by demons in body, soul, spirit, will. Okay, here it is. Body, appetites, lust, gluttony, sex, clothes, addictions, pornography, internet, shopping, overeating, sports, gambling, TV, illnesses, cancer, arthritis, epilepsy, asthma, incurable diseases, bodily states, sleeplessness, sleeping, lethargy, pain, and nervousness. This is all body functions that are typically oppressed by demons. Now let's deal with soul and mind. Torment, thoughts of accusation, temptation, destruction, terror, insanity, and death. Blocked memory, forgiveness, lethargy, compulsive thoughts, blocked understanding of God's word. That's soul, mind, your soul will. Weak will, a will that has no follow-through, passive. Soul emotions, exaggerated emotional state, fear, anxiety, anger, rage, shame, rejection, grief that is overextended or out of proportion. And then spirit, attempted prevention of salvation, spiritual lethargy, doubt of spiritual experience, unbelief. They can harass, affect, prevent maturing, but not take over in a Christian. They cannot possess. They cannot possess. Now remember that. They attack and they go after these areas and as many more. And each one of these areas have a lot of subtitles, a lot of sub areas. It's not just that area. It's everything that that subject relates to. So it's just more than one thing in each possible condition. So they deal with body, soul, and spirit. And that's where they capture. That's where they capture. Now the question is, okay, then how do they enter? Don't they have to have an entryway for this oppression? Do they randomly pick on people? You know, just kind of randomly do something? Here's somebody in a shopping mall going buying their groceries, and it's 200 people in the shopping center in the store, and they just kind of pick at random. You know, just kind of pick at random. Let me tell you, they do target people. They do target people. They absolutely do. And they particularly target those that are serving God and advancing the kingdom of God. And something else, where they see specific open doors. See, demons frequently gain entrance into a person's life. Now, here's a scripture in Genesis 4:7. And if you do not do well, this is God speaking to who? Cain. Sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it. That's the NAS version. Notice, sin is crouching at the door. Crouching. The other day, some evening, I opened the front door and there was a gigantic roach on the other side of the door. So as soon as I opened the door, here he comes. And I says, well, there he is. He didn't last long. He got wiped out. But he was there. He was crouching at the door. He was waiting. And perfect timing, I opened the door for whatever I opened it for. And immediately, it wasn't a second later, he said hello. And about 3 seconds After that, I said goodbye. So notice this open door. Spiritually, doors are open in our lives that allow the enemy to enter. And we're going to talk about them. There's at least six that I know about, and there's maybe more. You see, so we're going to talk about six open doors for the enemy to come in and oppress. It's like saying, come on in, roach. You open the door and there it is. Come on in. And these doors are extremely important. And a lot of people that are, quote unquote, oppressed, somewhere these doors opened up, someplace, in some occasion. These doors opened up. And these doors were opened, and the oppression happens. Like opening that door for that roach about 2 weeks ago. That roach never knew it would become a illustration, did it? You see? Now, let's look at these doors. I'm going to take my time here because I want to make sure that you understand. The first door is inherited curses. They apparently come down family line. And they manifest, hear me, soon after birth. And there is suspect that even in the womb, these babies are affected. That's right. See, it's interesting that young children, have certain traits about them. Oh, they're just being kids. Okay, that's some of it. Sure, they're just being kids. But I believe there's certain traits that these kids are showing that are more than, quote unquote, being kids. Because the enemy claims ownership. Because here's the parent. Here's the mother. And she's involved in all kinds of stuff. Right? She's involved in all kinds of stuff. And the baby's in her womb, which is part of her. Now, let's look at some of this stuff. See, fear, rejection, rebellion, anger, rage, shame, sexual perversion, control, and abandonment. Aren't we hearing that today? Are we not hearing that today? Look what I just said. Fear, rejection, rebellion, anger, rage, shame, sexual perversion, control, and abandonment. How in the world can a five-year-old, a two-year-old, a three-year-old say that they're really not a girl, they're a boy, and a boy says, I'm new and not a boy and a girl, and by the time they're 5 years old, see what's happening? You see what's going on? See what's taking place? Three-year-old says, Mommy, I think I'm a boy. Well, and Mommy, I think I'm a girl. So time they get to school. Mm-hmm. You know that. And they're saying, well, I'm not a, I'm not, you know, teacher, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy. And the pressure coming from demonic activity is pressuring them. That's where it's coming from. And now we have to have a transgender adjustment. You see? And they enter into a cycle of sin of the ancestors. Inheritance. See, if there is in the line a person that was involved in occult witchcraft, Freemasonry, demons claim ownership. Dad is a Freemason. Well, he's affecting his children. And then they take bloody oaths. You ever see people who take blood brothers, they cut a finger, he cuts a finger, and they mix their blood. And you know how dangerous that is? You know how dangerous that is? Now, we know that the blood of Jesus overrides and neutralizes anything of that order. But they're major open doors. And I've dealt with over the years, too many people over the years, dealing with witchcraft. I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of dozens. You see, there's an entry point. Listen to 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 27 through 29. Now, look at this. Look at this. Now, when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the gateway as to speak with him privately. Listen to this. And there to avenge the blood of his brother, Achil, Joab stabbed him in the stomach and he died. Okay, now we know. Now we know. Look at this in verse 29. Later, when David heard about this, he said, I and my kingdom are forever innocent before the Lord concerning the blood of Abner, son of Ner. Okay, notice what David said. I'm innocent of the blood of this. Now, watch this, what David said. Look at them in your Bibles. 2 Samuel 3, 27, 28, and 29. May his blood fall upon the head of Joab and upon all his father's house. May Joab's house never be without someone who has a running sore or leprosy, or leans on the crutch, or falls by the sword, or lacks food. Did you see that? Did you hear that? Did you hear that, what that scripture read? That's the legal right to enter into that family. David. Cursed. Joab and his entire family line. Because Joab used deception and killed Abner. Look at this. Look at this. That's not going to preach well on Sunday morning, is it? Wow. It should be. It should be preached. Here later, David hears, and he said, God, not my fault. Not on me. Not I. Not my family. You see, David separated himself from that situation. Separated himself. And to say, may his blood fall upon the head of Joab upon all his father's house. Look at a generation. That's everybody. Notice the curse. May Joab's house never be without someone who has a running sore or leprosy or will lean on a crutch or who falls by the sword or who lacks food. Look at this. They'll walk in a limp. They'll fall down. They'll be killed by the sword or have no food. Everybody. You don't think this is real? David knew what he was doing. It was wrong, but he knew what he was doing. Absolutely wrong, but he did it. That was an open doorway of inherited curses. Here's the second one, sins of the flesh. This is the one that's most frequently open. And it just absolutely is an invitation to the enemy to destroy us. And especially when a pattern is set up. Same sin over and over and over and over. Same thing over and over and over and over. And there's a pattern set up. See, any sin, hear me, any sin will open those doors. Doesn't have to be something erotic. See, because what happens is, notice, weakness of the flesh and demons work together. Weakness of the flesh and demons work together. Some vicious cycle over and over and over. You see, we sin, open the door, demons, remember, we cannot be possessed. Demons influence us. Remember, the devil made me do it. But my flesh helped him out. See, there's demonic powers that constantly put the thoughts in your mind. Constantly. So let's look at some of the very common areas in which doors are open when it comes to sin of the flesh. Anger. We give ourselves permission to vent our anger to others. Anger can lead to violence, adding it to legal ground. The enemy gains legal ground on us. That's what he does. Fear. How many Christians just absolutely are paralyzed by fear? I mean, just absolutely paralyzed by fear. Just, they're just so afraid. Paralyzed by fear. The Bible says, fear not. Fear and worry often lead to sinful ways of coping. Since there's so many types of fear, there are possible ways to injured or killed. There are many opportunities for demonic entry. Fear, shaken, always afraid. Here's another one, creed or covetousness. We are told not to covet, and we're warned about the severe consequences if we do. You can read about that in Ephesians 4. 26 through 32, Colossians 3:8, and James 1:19 and 20. You can read about it. All these have scriptures that back them up. All of them have scriptures. How about jealousy and envy? Envy's rottenness to the bones. It makes us sick, James tells us. Tells us, makes us sick. It's called lusting to envy. See, lust and envy work together. Works together. You lust after something. Doesn't have to be sexual. Could be anything. You're lusting after that. You want it. You got to have it. A neighbor gets something and you want it and they got it and you didn't. And you envy them for having it and you didn't. They go out and buy a 100-foot yacht and that's what you wanted. Oh, I got it. Yeah, I want it. I want that. And there it is. They come over and they say, oh, here's a picture of my new yacht. 100 feet long. Wow, it's down at the marina. Oh. Rebellion. Ephesians speaks of walking in disobedience and rebellion. See, rebellion, 1 Samuel tells us, is a sin of witchcraft. Yeah. Rebellion. It's amazing how rebellious these kids are. Right? You think of this for a minute. How rebellious kids are. They rebel against parents. They rebel against authority. They rebel against their teachers. They rebel against everything. This constant state of rebellion. Constant state of rebellion. Continuous. They don't want to go to school. They don't want to get up. I'm not talking about, well, it's kid stuff. Is it? I remember hearing that parent one day complaining. Well, I don't know what to do with little Johnny. I can't get him to mind. He won't do as I say. This is actually worse. He won't do as I say. He just won't do anything I tell him to do. Excuse me, ma'am. How old is Johnny? Well, he's 5. What? Oh, yeah, he's 5 now. And I tell him this, and I tell him that, and he will never do it. And I tell him that's not, no. See, oh, no. You see what I'm saying? How old is he? 5 years old. And then they go to, hear me, then they go to school. All right, then they go to school. And they act like wild animals. They go crazy. They go crazy. Won't listen to authority, don't want to go to school, don't want to sit down. They want to run wild. Don't you see that rebellion? We all were saddened by looking at the video from what happened over in Philadelphia. Yeah. Running wild. Going crazy. Crashing through windows. And see, what's amazing to me, they went into a iPhone store, okay? And they're taking all these iPhones. And one guy, in a proud way and had that pride and look, showed, I don't know how many iPhones he had in his hand, showed it to the camera, look at all the iPhones. They're useless to them. Because if they sell them to somebody else, their serial numbers are in computers somewhere in the manufacturer. And so they go and they try to crank it up and use it. The moment the iPhone ID comes up, it's going to register stolen. They'll never be able to use it. You see? So they're stealing stuff that have no use for them. As soon as they try to activate it, it's stolen. because all those numerical numbers, all the cereals, are not in the store. They're where? They're in some server somewhere at the company. I can't even use them. Here's this guy smiling. Rebellion! Rebellion! Don't like it. Rebellion. Rebellion. Pride. This is the original sin of Satan. Leads to many wrong actions. And it's often the sin most hidden from us. Now, listen to this. You can see anger and you can see fear. And greed and covetousness comes out. And envy and jealousy comes out. And rebellion comes out. How does pride come out? It's hidden. It's hidden. It's often the sin most hidden from us. A person knows when they're angry. They know when they have fear. They know when they have greed and covetousness. They know when they're jealous and have envy. They know when they have rebellion. How about pride? How about pride? Sins of the flesh, 1 John 2:16. Sins of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of light. These incorporate all possible areas of pride. 1 Timothy 3:6-7 is a caution to protect novices as well as experience from being filled up with pride. Isaiah 14:12-17. Demonstrates the I problem as well as the risk of putting value in the achievement and possessions. That's Isaiah 14:12-17, Ezekiel 28:12-29. That's the account of Satan when he fell. I will say and I will do and I will put. Amen. Amen. Do I have time for some more? Yeah, we're still dealing with sins of the flesh. How about lust? Satan tries to allow us to lust. Very subtle. Samson provides a simple example. Give her to me, for she pleases me well. Gluttony. A magazine reported that as much as 70% of American population is overweight. It's a health problem. Be careful about gluttony, but be careful about many people have weight problems because of other issues in their lives. Okay, just don't be so judgmental. Gossip. This sin gives Satan rich opportunity to work. Strife. James states that while envying and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. God hates those who sow strife and discord. God hates that. You can look that up in James. Bitterness. In Hebrews, God commands us to allow no root of bitterness. Self-righteousness. I am right and everybody else is wrong. This sin distances us from others in the church as well as from God. Criticizing, blaming, judging. In this sin, we often hold up our own life as a standard of righteousness. Others are put down or seen as cause or reason for everything being wrong. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. God makes it very clear. Absolutely. God makes it very, very clear. Crystal clear. Without question. That forgiveness is an absolute requirement for freedom. Absolute. The story of the unjust servant shows that if we do not forgive, God allows, now listen to this, God allows the tormentors, demons included, to have access to us. That's right. I've illustrated over the years that here comes these guys. They have they have sweatshirt on, and they have T printed in a bold letter on their front. And they are tormentors. And they're assigned, that's what the word says. The Bible said, I'll turn you over to the tormentors. And there they are. A bunch of guys, muscle-bound, strong, with a T on their shirt, representing torment. And God says, go torment them. And they begin torment. A lot of times the torment is not coming from the devil. It's coming from God because of unforgiveness. Exactly right. Matthew 18, 21 through 35. I'll turn you over to the tormentors. Wow. How do you get rid of them? That's easy. Forgive. I've often used the illustration that you put someone in a cage like a canary. Put the person in the cage like a canary, and the canary's in the cage. And the canary bothers you. So every once in a while, you open the cage door and grab the canary and just beat and whip the fire out of that canary. I mean, just throw him against the wall, throw him this, grab him and shake him, hit him over the head, and then open the cage again and throw him in there and shut the door and feel good about yourself. Feel good about yourself. And then again, open that cage, grab hold of that person, the canary, and just whip him good. Give him a couple shots, smacks, hits, throw him back in the cage, slam the door, and walk away feeling grand. If you look over your shoulder, here comes the tormentors. Here comes the tormentors with the T's on their shirt and muscle bound, and they grab you and make your life miserable. And people don't learn. Well, I'm so miserable. Why are you so miserable? I tell you why, because you're beating up the canary. That's how come. So how'd I get rid of tormentors? Easy. Go in the cage, take the canary out of the cage. The cage is empty. Hold the canary in your hand and let that canary go and fly away. And as soon as that canary is released, flies away, the tormentors are recalled by the Lord. If that's you, and you want this oppression to stop in your life, that's one of the steps you take. You go in that cage, you get rid of that canary, you hold that canary in your hand and let it go. And the moment you let it go, and it flies away, unforgiveness is ended, and the tormentors are recalled.